I know that we are blessed each assembly with visitors, but I can't think of a time when we have had as many as I have met this morning. And we want you to know how welcome you are. We hope you've been greeted warmly, and we invite your participation in what we're trying to do here, to be a church of the New Testament order, to read the Bible and follow the example of the early Christians. And as has already been expressed, we're happy to entertain any questions about what we do or what we don't do and look at book, chapter, and verse. But we do thank you for being with us today. As we turn our attention to the Bible, there are three questions we should always ask when we read the Scriptures. Question number one, what does it say? Question number two, what does it mean? And then question number three, what does it mean to me? You see, if we start with the third question and immediately insert ourselves or our situation into the text, then we're apt to miss what God meant for us to find. But when we first just consider the reading of the word and the original recipient and how it applied to them, then we'll better understand, what does God expect from me? And how can I live out the truth of this passage? So I want us to consider those three questions with one text this morning. It's at the end of Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. And it will be good for you to have your Bible open to this passage so that you can read with us and see these word by word what is expressed through the Holy Spirit. Mark chapter 10, we're going to start at verse 46 and read through the end of the chapter. These seven verses. So step number one, what does it say? Mark 10, verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he was going out from Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. And when he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, arise, he is calling for you." And casting aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni, I want to regain my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road. Step number one. Now, don't get excited. Step two and three take a little longer than step one. What does it mean? What are some clues in the text, or maybe in the cross references, or something that surrounds this passage that'll help us determine what is being meant by these words? Well, it begins by saying, "And they came to Jericho." Well, who are the they? Look back to verse 32. And they were going up on the road to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them, and they were amazed, and those who followed were fearful. And again, he took the 12 aside and began to tell them what was going to happen to him. So the they is Jesus and the 12 apostles. They're going to Jerusalem. And as Jesus tells them, not only do I know where we're going, I know what's going to happen when we get there. They're going to kill me. They're going to take me and deliver me over, and I'll be crucified and then raised on the third day. And so because Jesus and his apostles are on the road, they come through the city of Jericho. And there's a large crowd that is following, we read, a great multitude as they're on their way to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover feast. The same verse tells us that a blind beggar named Bartimaeus was sitting by the road. I suppose there have always been beggars. There were in Jesus' day. And just like in our day, they station themselves by the road. That's where the people are. And perhaps they were thinking that these pilgrims who were going for a religious purpose to Jerusalem would feel so inclined to give charity on their way. They're going to worship, and so we want to be in the right frame of mind. We'll give to this poor beggar here. And what's interesting is that in the other accounts, Matthew 20, Luke chapter 18, the blind man is not named. But Mark tells us his name was Bartimaeus, and then gives the description that just means son of Timaeus, which would indicate he was probably known to Mark's readers. They would have known Bartimaeus. Spoiler alert, he later becomes a disciple, and so he was likely known to the people Mark was writing to. When Matthew and Luke gave their account, these people did not know Bartimaeus. It's kind of like when somebody's telling you a story, a long drawn out story, and they're trying to remember the name of that attendant at that gas station in Wahoo, Nebraska. What was his name? What was his name? And the whole while you're thinking, what difference does it make? I don't know the guy. I'll never meet him. Well, Mark's audience knew Bartimaeus. This is how he came to know Jesus. And he was sitting by the road. Verse 47, and when he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, that's the only way he would have known. He couldn't see him. He was blind. But he heard. And perhaps he heard a bigger crowd than he was used to hearing on this road. And he said, what's happening? Who's coming? And they told that blind beggar, it's Jesus of Nazareth. But when he calls out to Jesus, he doesn't call him Jesus of Nazareth. He began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Well, why would he call Jesus Son of David? What connection was Bartimaeus making about Jesus of Nazareth? Son of David was messianic. It was a title that connected Jesus to the anointed one, the promised one, the one that the Old Testament prophet said would heal the sick and make the lame to walk and cause the blind to see. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. That was the clue that Jesus gave to the disciples of John the Baptist. Remember, John was in prison, and he sent his disciples to Jesus to determine, are you really the expected one? Are you the Christ? Or should we look for someone else? And Jesus said, you go tell John what you see and hear. The lame are walking, the blind are seeing, and the poor are having the gospel preached. And this blind beggar, Bartimaeus, could put all that together and say, if it's Jesus, the Son of David, maybe he'll cause me to see. He'll have mercy on me and heal me. Verse 48, and many were sternly telling him to be quiet. Also translated, rebuked, warned, and charged. Be quiet. Meaning either they didn't like what he was saying, or they didn't like who was saying it. It's very similar to earlier in the chapter when they're on this same journey in verse 13 of Mark 10, when they bring the babies to Jesus to be blessed. And what do his disciples do? They rebuke the crowds. Can't you hear them? Jesus doesn't have time for children. We're going to Jerusalem. The Son of God can't be bothered with babies. He's got important people to deal with. And maybe they thought the same thing about Bartimaeus. Be quiet. You're just a poor beggar. What could you offer to Jesus? But he kept crying out all the more. The verb in the Greek is continuous action. They kept telling him to be quiet. He kept crying out all the more. They told him to be quiet, and he shouted louder. What if he had stopped? What if he had listened and quit calling? Verse 49, and Jesus stopped and said, call him here. On the road into Jericho, which is where they had come from, is where Jesus met Zacchaeus. Remember, he was trying to see who Jesus was and couldn't because of the crowd, and climbed up into the sycamore tree. And it was Jesus who saw him and said, come down. Here, it was Jesus who stopped. And just like he said, permit the children to come to me, he said, call him here. And they called the blind man, saying, take courage, arise, he is calling for you. It was him calling to Jesus. And now Jesus was calling for him. Be comforted. Take courage. And casting aside his cloak. And don't you know, the coins went everywhere that people had thrown into his cloak. Casting aside his cloak, the text says he jumped up and came to Jesus. Verse 51. And answering him, Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" Now, if that question at all sounds familiar to you, just look up to verse 36. This was the very same question that Jesus asked James and John when the sons of thunder said, "We want you to do something for us, Jesus." And Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they asked for notoriety, exaltation, praise, glory, honor. "Let us sit at your right and your left hand. Let us have positions of prominence in your new kingdom." Well, what did this blind beggar want Jesus to do? Did he want money? Did he want food? And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni, I want to regain my sight." Rabboni combines teacher, rabbi, and Lord. It's a personal title, my Lord and my teacher, Rabboni. Remember, it was the same thing that Mary Magdalene called Jesus in the garden after his resurrection in John 20, verse 16. Rabboni, I want to regain my sight, which could either mean receive or restore. So apparently this man had not been born blind, like the man in John 9. He had been able to see, but either by injury or disease had lost his sight. "What do you want me to do for you?" "I want to regain my sight." In Matthew's account, "I want my eyes to be opened." And Jesus said to him, verse 52, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." The King James, "Your faith has made you whole." And you might have a note in your margin that says that's literally the word saved or delivered. And so this man came for physical healing. And Jesus saved him from his sins. "Your faith has made you well." And then immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road. He didn't go his way. He went Jesus' way and was so thankful that he followed them to Jerusalem. Hannah White told me she was listening to Graham sing away in the house this past week. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make them cry? Well, here was a man who couldn't help but to rejoice and glorify God for what he had done for him. Instead of the rich young ruler in verse 22 going away grieving, he followed Jesus rejoicing. What does it mean? That leads to the third question. what's all this mean to me? For which I have three questions. Number one, how badly do you want to see Jesus? Here was a man who would not relent in spite of what others were saying to him and trying to keep him from crying out. He knew, this is my chance for healing. Jesus is coming my way. And because he wanted to see Jesus, he would not quit. How badly do you want to see Jesus? Are you going to listen to other people who tell you, God can't help you? What's he going to do for you? How's he going to make that better? Are you going to listen to other people who tell you, you're too far gone? You've gone so far away from God, he would never forgive you. Are you going to listen to yourself and the devil himself who says, you can't be redeemed? Look at your life. How badly do you want to see Jesus? Is it enough to keep crying out all the more? Question number two. What does it mean to me? Did you know that Jesus is calling for you? Isn't that an amazing thought? A man who was crying out to Jesus, and they said to him, he is calling for you. He wants you. Just like Jesus wanted the little children, unless you become like little children, you can't enter the kingdom. Just like he wanted a tax collector, Zacchaeus, who was despised by the people in his own town. Come, I'm staying at your house today, Zacchaeus. Jesus called for a blind beggar. He wanted him. And he recognized that this man had put things together that Jesus' own disciples didn't understand. Jesus, Son of David, did you know Jesus is calling for you? That's his invitation. Come to me. Who? Everybody who's got their life all put together. Everybody who's got it all figured out. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus doesn't leave anybody out. He's calling for you. And number three, what does it mean to me? What do you want Jesus to do for you? What a great question he asked. What do you want me to do for you? Does that mean he didn't know? What do you want me to do for you? Did Jesus not understand what this man's problem was? He wanted him to express it and to declare it. What do you want me to do for you? How would you answer Jesus? Do we want Jesus to cure world hunger? He had a chance to do that while he was here. Do we want Jesus to clothe the homeless? Bring about world peace? Or do you want Jesus to have mercy on you and forgive your sins? What do you want him to do for you? I heard about his healing of his cleansing power revealing. How he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, "Dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit." You want Jesus to do that for you? He's calling for you. How badly do you want it? And how will you go your way this morning? Will it be like the ruler, grieving, sorrowful, not ready to relinquish? Or will you go on your way rejoicing that you can say, "I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see." What does it say? What does it mean? What does it mean to me? A song of encouragement has been selected where you have your opportunity to come to the one who's calling you, to come and confess your faith in him as the Son of the living God and repenting of your sins. Have them washed away. To come back to him for healing. He who can cause the blind to see can certainly open our eyes to where we need to be. And your brothers and sisters are here to encourage and help as we make our way to our final destination, the home Jesus has prepared for us. Come, let it be known as we stand and as we sing.